Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you've been reading the Village Voice, or at the very least glancing at those big red bins outside your local subway stop, you've no doubt noticed that this is a summer of serious investigative journalism for the weekly paper. Since the late spring, the Voice has been running a series called the NYPD Tapes, which tells the story of police officer Adrian Schoolcraft of the 81st Precinct in Bedford-Stuyvesant. From 2008 to 2009, Schoolcraft secretly recorded hours of audio which reveal the inner workings of one precinct. The Voice series goes through these tapes and the Schoolcraft case in alleging that the unit engaged in the manipulation of crime statistics, was overly concerned with quotas for arrests and summonses and stops and frisks, that they used threats of disciplinary action to cajole police officers, and may have engaged in civil rights violations and violations of the probable cause and reasonable suspicion standards in pursuit of these statistical quotas. We had the author of the series, Graham Raymond, on the show in May to discuss his reporting. Now the NYPD tape series is back on the cover of The Voice with a new story about another series of secret tapes, these from an officer in the Bronx. But the Schoolcraft case also continues to develop in Brooklyn. The lawsuit he filed against the NYPD has led to internal investigations of both the violations he recorded on tape and his subsequent arrest and placement in a mental institution for 8 days last fall, something he claims was punishment for his whistleblowing. So there are two strands to follow here, the continuing developments in the original Schoolcraft case and this entirely new set of tapes, which seem to indicate that this behavior was not only confined to one Bed-Stuy precinct. Graham Raymond from The Voice is back. Thanks for joining us, Graham.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
So first, what's the Bronx story?
This is another line officer, Adil Polanco. He only had a few hours on the, a few years on the force. Like Schoolcraft, he became fed up with the constant pressure for hitting quotas, and he felt that the effect of that was harassing regular New Yorkers, you know, on their way home from work. And so he started recording in the fall of 2009, and he did it for a few months, and he captured some of the same things that Schoolcraft had.
So, for example?
The quota in his precinct was 20 summonses and one arrest a month, and he has that on tape. You know, basically, you better get your summonses. The other thing he has is he has a PBA delegate. PBA is the police union that represents patrol officers. He has a PBA delegate demanding that the officers hit their quotas.
Now, the union has long been a critic of stat-based policing. Why would the union have been involved in pressuring their members to comply with it?
Well, what the union says that this particular delegate was basically off the reservation, that he was acting on his own, and that he was lying to his members. And when the union found out about it, they had him removed as a delegate.
In one case on these Polanco Bronx tapes, a sergeant ordered the arrest of a young man for having a warrant for an open container, even though he had been slashed across the back, a wound that required 40 stitches to close. In another case, a man who had been shot in the leg was arrested and taken to the hospital in handcuffs because he had a prior warrant on a minor charge, according to your article. Those are horrific sounding on one level. On another level, if somebody has a warrant out for their arrest, maybe they should be arrested.
Right. I mean, Polanco was particularly troubled by the fact that these guys were seriously injured, and having an open container is not even a crime. It's a violation.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, his view was that arresting these gentlemen for having open containers when they were seriously injured was.
Does he allege that they delayed medical treatment?
He did not. He did not allege that. But implicit in what he's saying is that they did take the time to run the injured man for warrants before he got to the hospital.
Officer Polanco also says in your article that precinct supervisors routinely called crime victims on the phone to try to persuade them to withdraw their report or change their account in some way that would allow the incident to be reclassified as a lesser crime. How much evidence does he have for that? Is there something on the tape?
There's nothing on the tapes that would back that up. But this is an allegation that Schoolcraft has made as well, and that I've heard from other officers.
What do you think Officer Polanco's motivation is for these tapings, which come with such risk, obviously, for an officer on current duty and for coming forward?
Well, what he said is that he was complaining about this quota pressure, and he wanted to try to document it. Subsequently, he contacted IAB, the Internal Affairs Bureau, to report some of this stuff. And then after that, his precinct supervisors became aware of him going to Internal Affairs. And then he ended up in a kind of messy confrontation with a lieutenant in the precinct. And that led to his suspension. And this is a very similar sequence to the Schoolcraft case. Schoolcraft also tape recorded what he saw was misconduct or questionable activities, went to Internal Affairs, his precinct found out about it, and then he ended up in a messy confrontation with his superiors. So,
what's Polanco's status now?
He's suspended with pay, which means he gets his full salary, but all he does is he gets up and he drives from his home about an hour to a police office downtown and just signs a log and then turns around and drives back.
It's like an NYPD rubber room.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, he's getting his full salary. And
what was he suspended for? For doing the taping itself?
No, he was suspended for disobeying an order. His partner fell ill and he wanted to go to the hospital with his partner. His lieutenant wanted him to stay on the checkpoint and continue to write summonses.
So you think it was an excuse to punish him for doing this undercover work?
This is what he says.
And it's funny because there are competing quotas here. Listeners might be confused. On the one hand, 20 summonses and one arrest per month. On the other hand, the claim that supervisors were trying to convince victims to downgrade crimes. So there are crimes to report, but they're of a lesser severity. Right?
More
arrests and summonses, but fewer serious crimes, so they can look like they're doing a lot and therefore keeping serious crime down. That's the game, right?
Well, the key thing is that every month there are meetings. There are CompStat meetings where the precinct commander is required to account for crime in his district, and the numbers are compared to the same period the previous year. So what Polanco says the strategy was to come in a little bit lower than last year, but not too much lower, because then you would set a new mark that would be hard to meet the following year. Mm.
So
that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. Give me just a quick update before we run out of time on the developments in the Schoolcraft story. Again, he claims he was falsely arrested and taken to a mental ward for having done this kind of thing at the 81st Precinct in Bedford-Stuyvesant. What's the latest?
Well, even though City Hall and police headquarters inexplicably won't comment on or won't answer any of my questions, behind the scenes, there's been a fair amount of activity. There's a couple of his former precinct commander and a deputy chief are both being investigated for their handling of his case. And there's another investigation into one of my stories about how a series of sex assault robberies were downgraded in the 33rd precinct in Washington Heights. Schoolcraft remains suspended without pay, unlike Polanco. And he has a lawsuit that he's filed.
Get the sense, bottom line, that the NYPD is treating this as a Bedford-Stuyvesant problem, a systemic problem throughout the city or not a problem that you at the Village Voice and a couple of rogue officers are ginning up into something that it's not?
Well, I think officially they don't want to talk about it at all because it opens up a whole can of worms about one of the most important underlying let's face it, crime stats are what the entire city's entire reputation is based on in many ways. And that's why the mayor repeats over and over again throughout the year that crime is down and the police commissioner. So I think they don't want to talk about it at all. But at the same time, you know, there has been activity. And I just want to note that, oddly, I was approached by someone in the department who asked me to communicate a settlement offer to Schoolcraft.
And that's
never happened in my career.
That's a funny position to put a reporter in.
Yeah, it was very unusual. And that, just, you know, I think they would like this thing to go away. That was just, you know, an initial effort to see if that, you know, if they could come up with a settlement that he would be interested in.
Graham Raymond from The Village Voice, writing the NYPD tape series. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in just a minute. The release of Mockingjay, and in general, the rise of the young adult novel. Stay with us.